1 John 4, verse 19. This is the eternal, inerrant words of our Lord God. We love because he first loved us. Thanks be to God. To preach on the love of God is an enormous task. Therefore, it would not be sufficient to only spend one sermon on his love, because the love of God is so immeasurable and so insurmountable that there would not be room enough to do so. For God's transcendent love reaches beyond our understanding to try and gather the breadth, the depth, the width of God's love altogether. And to know his revealed love today is just the tip of the iceberg. For God's love is what shapes us and forms us into images of himself through Jesus Christ. For our identity is from the creator of all things and the founder of love that surpasses all time and creation to come and fathom and know the vastness of his love towards us, his beloved, his sons and daughters. That when God revealed his love towards us through his Son, he did so by a close relationship of love between the Father and the Son, that we would mirror as a sign of our love for him, to love the Father as Christ does so perfectly, that broadens our purpose of his love for us, to be obedient, to take up our cross and follow Christ. That just as Christ was obedient even to the point of death, we may also respond to the love that has never failed or ceased to flow freely from the Father to the Son. So where do we begin? What can we glean from our text that John is pointing towards us from revealing of his love through this scripture? So my prayer is that by the end of this sermon, we will have a deeper, more clearer meaning of what God's love is, how we love in response to his love, and why we love, so that we may live our lives in the love of God through the perfect mediator, Jesus Christ, whom first loved us, to love with the privileged revelation of God's love, not only to be saved by God's love, but to be shown it, to be informed about it, to share in the love of God, to love God in return. For God is love. And before I go any further, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that even in our wretched state, Lord, you loved us. And though we were sinners and against everything about you, Lord, that we loved the creature rather than the creator, Lord, that you loved us and you did this first. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you open our hearts to know you more so that we may walk according to your ways and your wills and your purpose, and to do this obediently. Father, may we grasp how we are to do this in love, not out of a coercion or a compulsion to do it religiously, but, Father, as the internal working of what you've done inside us, so that we do this willingly out of the love that you have given to us and placed inside us already. So, Father, guard my lips, O Lord, that I may speak your word clearly. The Father, that we would receive your word, that we would receive it, O Lord, willingly to, yes, O Lord, test your word and then walk in your ways. So that this love, O Lord, that you now bring forth to us, O Lord, would be for me as well as your church, your people, so that we may be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and whom we just finished singing about. So, our Father, I pray, Lord, help us this morning. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when we begin to look at our text, and I know it's only one verse, and there's a lot in there. When we begin to look at our text, we notice a few things straight away. So we love because he first loved us. What we see is that we are the subject of love. So we love. And God is the origin and source of love itself because he first loved us. He is the one who set his affections upon us to love us first, even though we were destitute and bound in our sinful, selfish lives. We are shaped and molded by the world in which its image comes from, to communicate their futile existence and independence from God by ignoring the Creator and acknowledging the creature himself. No matter how much they would exhaust their resources for the benefit of life around them, they will always fall short of any kind of love the world would conjure up, to fail to fulfill the purposeful existence generated by the love of God. This means, beloved, that any kind of love, love that does not originate from the Father, is not love at all. They try to. They can try as much as they can because the originator of love itself is God. For God is love. And here's our first, I hope you got your Bibles with me. So our first text that we're going to point towards, our current text, is 1 John 4 verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Nor can we love unless God does first. So what do we see? What do we see here? That is that there is conditions to love, but what are they? First of all, God initiates his love. But how? By the threefold Trinitarian work of God, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This shows us the unity of the essence of God working together as one. So firstly, God the Father initiates. God chooses us before creation. He chose us before the foundation of the world. That we love this verse, and I know we do, Ephesians 1 verse 4. Even as he chose us in him, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So God initiates his love by choosing us, by his providential love for us. And secondly, the Son. This is through the redemptive work of God's Son, Jesus Christ. We can clearly see that Jesus is the means of God's love that demonstrates his love for us. And then on the next verse, so Ephesians 1 verse 5, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So God adopts us as sons to himself. But how? He adopts us to himself through Jesus Christ. It is this sonship that flows into the third and final point. So finally, the work of the Holy Spirit. We have been initiated by God's love by his Holy Spirit. And we see that in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So this love, straight off the bat, this love is the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit, which is also an overflowing effect of God's love. that the Spirit penetrates our hearts to make them new. It is in this Trinitarian work of the Father through the Son by the Spirit that has loved us before time. That this Trinitarian love works in unison to outwardly express God's love towards us and calls us to unite us with them inwardly. So now that we know that God initiates his love over us and draws us to himself through his Son by his Spirit, his love then demands repentance. To squarely admit our detestable nature that denied the true God and substitute it with ourselves. And his love also commands us to be obedient, to live for the initiator of life and die to the destruction that is death. So you and I, we are regenerated, born again, removed from the world of sin, given a new life, a debt-free life, to experience God's eternal love for us, a life that is now set apart to be holy. Not that we have done anything inherently of value or worth, but because God has set us apart to make us holy. It's nothing we have done. It's because God came and chose us to set us apart to be his children, so that we would be holy. We are valuable to God because he chose us and set his love over us. And it's here, it's right here, in the awakening to the regeneration of God's love, that we see the great contrast of our former sin and the undeserving, unmerited, unwarranted sacrificial love that extends beyond our ancestors, beyond creation and beyond time, that God would choose to set his love upon you, beloved, simply because he chooses to do so. 1 John 4, verse 10. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, even though we did not love him. Did you just hear that? I'll repeat it for you. Even though we did not love him, God loved us. We are debt-free. Because Christ took our debt and placed it upon himself and became the atonement for our sins. Think of it this way. Here we are, completely submerged in our sins, yet purchased for a price we could never afford to repay. Is that not love? Or even this way, God in his perfection must be wrathful against his image bearers, for they have offended him. Yet God in his perfection must also be loving towards his image bearers by placing his wrath upon another, his Son, Jesus Christ. God's love is now richer than his wrath. Even though this is true, we cannot help but continue to see both. God's wrath and God's love whenever we look to the cross. It is a love that is actualized by the wrath that was appeased by the sufficiency of Christ's death on the cross. Therefore, God is both the subject and the object of propitiation or the atonement. God provides the propitiating sacrifice, the subject, and he also is the object, the one who is propitiated. This is the glory of the cross, a manifestation of God's love. God's manifestation of his love through his Son is seen even to today to the newly converted Christian who acknowledges that God is Jesus and is living inside him. as he also is living inside us. God manifests his Son. He manifests his Son that we might live through him. 1 John 4, verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And so God's love is manifested among us, becoming a reality towards the ones he set his love upon. That's you and I. That God made a way that is only possible to draw us to himself by sacrificing that which in whom he is well pleased, his only Son, Jesus Christ, holy yet begotten, righteous yet esteemed not, pure but died for the unclean passions of our selfless acts of sin. Why? So that we might live through him, the one who is perfect, Jesus Christ. Jesus is not only the revealing love of God, the love which has been demonstrated for us all, but Jesus is also the mediator, the one who steps in our place of the Father's love, the love given from the Father through the Son. John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. So Jesus is the means and the mediator, the one who mediates God's love towards us, and the means of God's love actualized, brought into being. Knowing all of this, that the love of the Father is seen as the initiator, the one who calls, the one who demands repentance and commands obedience, the one who is the object and the subject of salvation, the one who manifests his love to us through the mediator Jesus Christ as the means of God's love. Knowing all this, what is love? God's love, firstly, emanates from his own character. It is his inherent qualities of the character of God. It is who he is. Second of all, God's love exercises this love. It's an action, a demonstration to love, that God first loved, a doing word to love through Jesus Christ, who is the manifestation of God's love, to obey the Father through the Son, to obey the Father through the Son. And thirdly, it is an affection, a righteous and holy passion for the joyful delight to please the Father as a son. And where we see this so beautifully is in John 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, beloved, and that your joy may be full. This is a joy, beloved, not to be coerced, but to serve willingly, moved by love, his love, to love in return. When we combine all of these into one, we see God's love is beautifully manifested in us through his Son, Jesus Christ. A manifestation of the inner work inside us to love outwardly as the delightful pleasure to serve by his love, to love in return. And here's our first application. Sometimes, not always, sometimes, beloved, we can be moralistic seeking religion rather than God, making ourselves to be pious, righteous men pleasers who love like the Pharisees did. For this is why Jesus stresses the point of our righteousness that must exceed that of the Pharisees if we are to enter the kingdom of God. For we must take the form of love that is not forced or coerced, but rather willingly moved by God's love to love Him in return. A desire to serve from the heart to please God than man or man-made religions. So why do we love? Why do we love? We love because of the initiating love of God. It is His benevolence, His goodwill. It is His beneficence, His acts of love that has made us beneficiaries of His love to love God in return. He has manifested His love to us through His Son, that they live in us, exposing His love so that we may imitate the love that lives inside us. Therefore, if we imitate God, then we are image bearers of God. That God in the beginning created us in His image, His likeness. It was His purpose for us all in the beginning. And to see this, we go back to Genesis. Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." But there's a problem with that. Since the fall of man by one man, Adam, our previous sinful state, which prevented us to live as God's created image, what does God do? God, in His forbearance, made a way. Romans 8:29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. I hope we're following the thread here, that we're image bearers, foreknown, predestined, foreknown and predestined before time, before creation, to be images of His Son. We are being recreated in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, still in the likeness of God, but through Christ. Not just image bearers, but sons after the likeness of the Son of God Himself. God's love through Christ has brought us back to the missing link of our identity. Remember the link that we once had back in Genesis? We were broken. But God in Christ has made us whole again. God's love is the cure to the illness of death. It is what will make the world begin to live again, to function in the likeness an image He had made, and that would be ultimately good. Not our good. His measure of goodness. So God's love is undying. It is what brings life, not death. And here's our next application. Is your every affection for God? Are you looking at the world through His eyes? Is God at the center of your life? then the love of God will affect you to see the sickness, the brokenness, the illness of the world that is engulfed by its sinful desire. That God is the cure of this sickness and is also at the core center of life to function in the likeness and image of God. The broken made whole again. Our every affection for God is because we are looking through a new lens of love of God in Christ. Jesus is what exemplifies the image of God so that we may now live through Him. 1 John 4 verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. But why? So that we may continue to magnify God's love through the image, Jesus Christ. We could never carry out the creation mandate because of sin. That the tarnished children of the father of lies manipulated fallen men in his selfish image, which is the polar opposite to the mandate. That's what we were like. And so Jesus is the only perfect image who walked among us to repair the broken mandate, that we imitate the likeness of Jesus, who is perfectly portraying the image of God. Because He is the true Son of the living God, Yahweh. So what does this mean? This means that we would be like the Son of God. That in His image, you are the subject of the God who loves you perfectly and forever. So if we are image bearers of Christ, how do we love like Christ? By being obedient and keeping His commandments. So John 15 verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. God's love is conditioned on obedience by keeping His commandments. It is the way in which the Father is loved through His willful loved ones who are obedient in love. That our desire is to fulfill His desire for His redemptive plan. The example we look to is the perfection of Jesus' obedience, even to the point of death, was to remain in the love of the Father. God's love for His Son is given through His commandments, so that the Son would respond to the love of the Father, to love Him in return by obediently keeping them. This is how we see God manifesting Himself to us, beloved. Through the Son, Jesus Christ, that His perfect obedience was and is an expression of His love to give us His Son who would die for you and me. It is an obedience that is to completely fulfill the Father's will for us all, that expresses the love of the Father had for us from the beginning before creation. Jesus is also obedient because He is entirely dependent upon the Father and in turn is subordinate to Him. I hope you're tracking, because if we are images of Christ, Jesus only did what the Father commanded Him. He was obedient to Him perfectly. And the verse that I want for you to see to show us that is John 5, verse 19. John 5, verse 19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord. The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." So Jesus' subordination to the Father is because he is completely dependent to the Father's will and plan. This is a love resulting from the relationship between the Father and the Son. This relationship between the Father and the Son is also a model and incentive for us, beloved, to be dependent upon the Father as Jesus was, that we remain in his love by our relationship to Jesus. Do you see God the Father and God the Son had a relationship, so that we now have a relationship to the Father through his Son? That our relationship to Jesus mirrors the relationship of the Son to the Father. So here's our last application. Can you imagine yourself to be a recreated being like Christ? To love like the Son of God? To be like Jesus Christ? For we are disciplined in love that we might be loving and obedient children of the living God, that we would then love God through his commandments. And in turn, he will engulf you in an ocean of his love, so that we would swim in his love, that we would be so encapsulated and engrossed in his love that nothing else would take your attention away. So now we know that by keeping his commandments, by living them out, we come to understand that this love is also a reflection of Christ for his beloved church. The purpose of his love to flourish here on earth, to demonstrate God's love towards one another, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That just as God loved us, we also demonstrate this love. We also ought to love one another for the unified display of his immutable, unchanging love. His love never changes. He's demonstrated it to us so that we may love him. And if we love him, then we love each other, because you know what? Christ is dwelling in each and every one of us. 1 John 4 verse 21, "And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." Do you see what God's doing here? He's recreating us, filling us with himself through his Son Jesus, that we now imitate his love back to him, not just to him, but to each other. So we're filling the church of image bearers of Christ who are shining radiantly for him. What better display of God's saving, God's redeeming love than the love that is amplified by his church, who by their obedience, your obedience, beloved, to magnify the love that lives inside us all, to build one another up in his love, that we become not only image bearers of Christ Jesus, but a reciprocating willingness to love one another as a community of God in Christ Jesus, who has done this already for us. Therefore, we cannot experience God's love without Jesus. That it is the incarnation of Jesus who brings us to God and his love. To know him and to know his love that is inside all believers now, you and I. That is what this time of year celebrates, isn't it? The incarnation of love, that Jesus is the visible manifestation of the invisible God, that God is love. And even though this may be the most known scripture throughout all Christianity in John 3:16, we still see it right here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is God's love doing. God loved, so he gave. Love is doing. It is why we celebrate Christmas. It's the gift of God to all repentant sinners. Have we ever looked at it that way when we come to Christmas? That Jesus came to the world because of the Father's love for the unrepentant and completely wicked sinners, you and me. That we, beloved, should not perish, not a hair on our head to be messed with, to have a new eternal life in his redemptive, saving love through his only Son, Jesus Christ. And as we begin to wrap it up, in conclusion, we love, beloved, because of the initiator, the one who initiated the love in the first place, the initiating God of love, who loved us by the redemptive life, death and resurrection of Christ, his only Son, that we can come to no amount in anything we set out to achieve unless we have the love of God through Christ within us. For just as the Son loved the Father by his perfect obedience, we would do well to imitate such love by no longer living for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again, so that we may love him through his commandments, to keep them and to manifest his love towards you, beloved, his church. That's why he loves his church that much. He loves you like a bride because you are his bride. So that our identity, which has been missing the vital key to love outwardly from within, will be magnified and amplified by the manifesting love of God that is extended through the saints, you and I, of Jesus Christ. For God loved us all, the church, that we may love him in return. God's love is sure and true, that nothing in all creation can separate you or I. Nothing in creation can separate us from the mediator of God's love, Jesus Christ, who condescended to this world, fully man, fully God, to be the propitiation, the atonement for us all. It is God's love, God's gift, God's Son. That is love. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, of what we just heard about your sermon, that you would well up in us, O Lord, that this deep awakening, O Lord, that has now exposed us to your love, that we come to love you in return. Father, out of the willingness of the heart, O Lord, as a child comes to his father to want to please him, Here we are, Lord, your children, desperately in need of you, because you are everything to us. That just as the Son can do nothing without you, O Lord, neither can we. So, Father, as this world now begins to prepare for their own Christmas, Father, help us to live in this love, to actualize it, of what love is, and not what the world would perceive it to be. That your love, O Lord, was demonstrated 2,000 years ago. That we pay attention to this and not to fall into what the world would conceive as love and what they celebrate. They go away on holidays. But Father, to treat this as a holy day, not on a specific day, but Father, to know that you first loved us. And that through this manifestation, we are able to experience your love so that we may love you and that we may love your church, your beloved, so that you may be our God and we may be your people. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.